All right, everybody, you're in the exercise room now, so you're gonna have to get ready and push.
Oh.
And back.
Oh.
And work it.
Ah.
And rest.
Oh.
Okay, everybody, you're doing great.
Whew.
Well, whether it's another chocolate sprinkled donut or that very, very comfy looking couch or buying another pair of shoes, temptation is all around, trying to lead you astray from being healthier, from saving money. The ability to keep your impulses in check, it's long been thought that is a marker for how successful your life turns out. You'll know the famous Stanford marshmallow experiment from 50-odd years ago. That was where children were offered a treat, but told if they waited for 15 minutes, they'd get double the treats. Well, how do you build self-control? Some recent research is suggesting that exercise could play a part in forging better discipline in your life and a way to increase your willpower. So, exercise, discipline and self-restraint. Who better to talk about this than Jared Boyle, our personal trainer here in the exercise room? So, Jared, from your experience, what role does exercise play in building self-control?
I think it has a very significant role in building your relationship to self-control, not least of all because it's about making yourself do things that instill discomfort. And so you develop a relationship to discomfort where you start to see it as a relative thing. It's not an actual reality. And most of it's in your head anyway. It tends to go away once you start. That's certainly my relationship to it.
All right. Now, you're very taken with some bloke who's a Dutch daredevil for this reason. Tell us about, what's his name? Wim Hof.
In recent times, I've become very interested in a guy named Wim Hof. And if you Google him, Wikipedia will define him as being a Dutch daredevil who has made himself famous for doing things like running a marathon in the Namib Desert without water. He's climbed to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro in shorts and shoes, the death zone of Everest in shorts and shoes. But my favourite Wim Hofism is when he went to set a swimming under an ice floe without a breath record and his retinas froze. And as a result, he could not find his way back out of the hole.
His retinas froze.
They froze.
Okay. Now, what does he tell you about this subject of self-control?
Well, what's significant about him is that he's been able to prove his ability scientifically. So he's invited scientists to observe his world record attempts and various things like that. And what's been discovered is that he has learned to consciously control his autonomic nervous system, which is to say his ability to control his pituitary gland and his heart rate, and he can maintain his core temperature irrespective of the temperature outside of himself. And he's learned to do this through a combination of breathing exercises and exposure to the cold. And he says that the ultimate aim of this is to be able to control how you feel. And when I was listening to him speak, he said something that really struck me. He said, people have lost the sense of what real comfort is. And this is for a person who plunges himself into freezing ice cold water for hours at a time. And I think he's right. And I've certainly been sort of following his example a little bit.
But what has he meant? So you know, people have lost the sense of what real comfort is. I mean, he lives a life of discomfort.
That's true, but it brings you to a greater comfort where irritation is something you can effectively switch off.
Right. All right. All right. So does exercise foster discipline and self-control in your life then, Jared?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. I mean, I've come to develop a relationship with discomfort, which I enjoy. And I mean, you can see, and certainly it's something that I've proven, my performance is based on discomfort, my ability to do something has a lot to do with my ability to ingest discomfort. And I mean, we know that the animal evolves in close relationship with the amount of discomfort it's subjected to. And this is what strength and endurance are.
All right. So now, with people who come to you for fitness training, have you seen exercise affect their level of self-control, their levels of restraint over, you know, impulses, desires?
Look, most of the evidence they would give me is anecdotal.
Mm. You don't live with them.
That's correct. I only see them for an hour, 2 hours a week, perhaps. But I do see that they become very comfortable with the discomfort that I invite them to undertake. And one of the big indicators of that is that I don't have to encourage them a lot. I'm not one of those rah-rah screaming people because, I mean, I don't respond to that myself. But what I have found is that if I make people comfortable, they will rise to their own challenges. And pretty much all of them do.
And do you think that crosses over into other areas of life?
I think that's absolutely true because you come to see discomfort as a relative thing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when you're overtired and you're not looking after yourself very well, you do tend to make bad decisions, I think, and perhaps lose a level of self-control. And presumably exercise is one thing, but things like sleep and nutrition are important in maintaining a sort of level of self-awareness around self-restraint.
I think you're absolutely right about that. I think that food and sleep are the most important aspects of getting your head straight, if you like. Friends of mine that have joined Special Forces, and there's been a few of them, they tell me that the worst part of the application process, and basically these guys are tortured for weeks at a time. The worst part is the sleep deprivation when they do not let you sleep. Your reality deforms and your ability to cope with it diminishes very significantly. You can't underestimate the role of food and sleep in terms of your own internal state, shall we say.
Yeah. Well, broadening things out a bit, I mean, how do you... I think we're actually narrowing things down in a way. How do you build the self-control or discipline to exercise at a decent intensity? I mean, I have to say, for example, that I know that I push myself much harder when I'm in a class, when I'm around other people and with a teacher than when I'm on my own.
I think the first thing you have to do is find something you like. And I think things like being in a class surrounded by other people and having a teacher actually probably has something to do with your mode of enjoyment. Generally speaking, I prefer to be left alone.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, I just find it easier to concentrate. I want to get the information and then go and work on it in my own time, if you like. But the first thing, I think, is to find something that you like. Once you settle into it, I find, for me, technical exercises are the things that I enjoy the most because it's that kind of meditative effect where you reduce the viscera of your reality to a single thing. And if it has a physical correlative or a physical performance, that makes it easier again.
But what you're saying is it's pretty individual, really, and you need to discover what that...
Absolutely, and needs to be regarded as such, especially by a teacher or an instructor. They have to come to you in that sense.
Well, how do you do that?
Lots of different ways. I mean, as a teacher, you need to be sensitive to your charges. And sometimes that means pretending that you're not.
In other words, what? Yelling?
No, not so much yelling. Well, look, one thing I don't like, which I don't tend to put up with, is whinging. Man, it just makes it harder for everybody. It's like, if they're really committed to not doing this, I'm not the person for
what
them.
Do you do if you've got a whingy person?
Oh, look, I don't tend to have a lot of respect for it, I suppose. I mean, I think it comes down to that thing we've talked about before in the Bhagavad Gita, the distinction between the mind and the self. The whinging is the externalization of just another voice. It's just another voice. And when you give voice, when you actually give physical voice to it, that's an act of submission. And I'm not in the business of submission.
And Jared Boyd is a personal trainer, personal philosopher, the thinking person's gym buddy. Jared, I'm going to let you get back to the gym now. Thank you for popping out to join us.
Thank you ever so much, Amanda. I will see you again soon.
Okay. This is Life Matters.